Greetings. Welcome to Dr. Neil's Spiritual Awakening to Non-Duality. This is Dr. Connie Zweig, and I'll be interviewing my husband who lives in Spiritual Awakening. You may have heard about this or read about it, but you may not know someone who lives it day to day. We'll be exploring how non-duality developed in Dr. Neil as I've observed it over 25 years, and as he directly experiences it every day. Each podcast will explore a different theme. We look forward to you joining us. We're meeting to discuss Dr. Neil's Spiritual Awakening to Non-Duality. And we've been coming across a lot of different meanings of this term. A lot of people are using it now to mean awakening or enlightenment at various levels of consciousness. I wanted to ask my husband, Neil, about the direct experience of non-duality rather than the concepts and see what he can clarify for us. Neil, what is non-duality and what is your experience of it?
Well, if I was to intellectually define it, I would say it's not oneness, but not two-ness. In other words, non-duality, not two. I guess that's the best definition of it. The experience of it, though, is many levels and facets, not just the one experience. So, one of my awarenesses, and I say that because it's always available, yet I'm not in that level of consciousness all the time, is Brahman consciousness or the divine or God. And that is experienced by me as being everywhere. So everywhere, meaning that my awareness and attention can be located at any place in the cosmos. That's the physical universe, from the smallest quark or smallest particle to the most abstract, huge intergalactic awareness, and also from the subtle realm, the gross realms, what we see with the eyes, ears, mouth, and so on, to the subtle realms, the astral plane, the mental plane, Buddhic plane, Atmic plane, celestial planes, and so on. There is in me the capacity to be conscious of all of these states as myself and as a part of myself and aspect of myself. So it's quite possible for me in this moment to be in this room and at the same time experiencing the galaxy, visually looking at the galaxy, listening, hearing the crackling of the galaxy, the flavor of the galaxy.
How is this connected to non-duality?
Well, I am that. In other words, I am that. That is me. It's not dual. In the sense that there is subject and object, it's the fact that I am all of it.
So maybe the first pair of opposites that most people associate with non-dual would be subject-object. Can you say more about that?
Yes, most people would look at it from a purely physical point of view of, let's say, sight. So if I was looking at, or I'm looking at a tree, and non-duality is seeing myself in the tree and seeing myself in the body, that is Neil. So there's no separation between the self that is in the body and the self that's in a tree. And that's a very basic level of non-duality. Why is it basic? It's basic because it's not very subtle. It's not cosmic. It's very objective. One can actually see it in the tree with physical eyes. And one can be the tree with pure awareness, with a consciousness that is everywhere but located in the tree. And then it can get more subtle than that.
See the tree and be the tree. So
see
when you say the self, you see the self in the tree. That's very non-Buddhist language. So explain what you mean by that. What makes it non-dual? I know you're not seeing Dr. Neil in the tree. What is it that you're seeing?
Well, the consciousness that is me. The consciousness that is present.
So the essence of you, we could call consciousness,
yeah.
And the essence of the tree.
You can call consciousness. Yeah, so the tree, the essence of the tree. So if I'm looking at a tree, for example, what I experience is the usual physical object of Neil. His vision has visual capacity. Who's observing the tree as a physical object, which has leaves and branches and so on. And if I was to look a little deeper into the consciousness, I would see that there is a subtle realm, there's an astral realm, and there's entities that are growing and supporting the tree, and there are entities that are growing and supporting this Neil body. And if I go a little deeper, I'll see that the same consciousness that manifests the tree is manifesting Neil, the body, the mind, and so on. Not two consciousnesses, one consciousness.
So what we might call spirit or pure consciousness or being, or depending on our lineage and our language, is basically the essence that we share, but that we're unconscious of in separation as we live in duality. So it sounds like your visual sense has allowed you to perceive that that's not true, that that duality is not actually the truth.
Correct. Everything is God, or everything is Brahman, and I am everything. So there's no separation between one substance and another substance. They're all one. There's no separation between me and the object of perception. They're all one.
Now, has this happened for you with any other sense?
Yes, it happens primarily with sight, but also with hearing and touch.
Ah, so tell me about hearing.
Well, right.
I know for a long time you've had inner, what do you call it when you're meditating and you have inner currents, or what do you call it?
Oh, yeah, I call it currents, inner sounds.
Yeah, you have some kind of inner internal vibration that you hear.
Right. So who is speaking right now? Well, it would appear that there's an I that is speaking, that is making the sound that you're listening to. And there is Connie, my wife, who has her own sound. It would appear that way. That's not the reality. The reality is that this voice that's speaking right now out of this mouth is spontaneous, has no substance to it. It's directly expressing the consciousness of the cosmos, of God, of Brahman. There is no body here. There's no Neil saying this. And the same thing with Connie. When Connie speaks, there is no Connie. There's the universe expressing itself as a sound, as a vibration.
But you don't obey me all the time.
Obedience.
Okay, so you're saying there's a non-dual, that the sound that I'm expressing in this moment
mm-hmm.
for you is not separate from the sound that you're expressing from your body-mind.
Yes, it's almost like when you're speaking, the consciousness that is Brahman, that is God, is speaking through that mouth that you experience as yourself. But I experience myself as speaking that.
And what about touch? You said there's something about some experience of non-duality in touch.
Yeah, I think I'll leave that for another time because it's more complex.
Okay. I know we have a friend who speaks about taste, that her awakening happened through her sense of taste. So she eats a piece of fish and she experiences the entire lifetime of that fish swimming, being born, swimming in the stream and coming to her mouth.
Right.
In that moment that she's tasting the fish.
Right.
And she's not separate from it.
Right.
So apparently this level of awakening can happen for some people through the senses.
Yes.
I don't know that that's true for everyone. My understanding at this level is that it happens in awareness. It doesn't happen in the mind. It happens in awareness for most people. But this sensory experience of non-duality is interesting because I don't hear it spoken of very much.
I think most people see it as part of the mind or a sense of self that is physical. So the subject is the physical body or the personal mind, and the object is the what we perceive with the sight or the mind. And when those merge or become one, that's perceived or described as non-duality.
Okay, and just before we move on, you said inner sound currents. Do you experience non-duality through sound?
I hear the sound of the universe. The universe is making a constant sound. In fact, let's rather say the cosmos, because the universe does make a sound, the sound of creation. And supposedly it's the sound of the Big Bang, which is still happening right now.
What do you mean?
Well, we tend to look at things in terms of time and space. So when one begins to look at time and space as relative, in other words, I am emptiness experiencing the fullness or the wholeness of the universe. So I am everywhere, and I'm able to perceive almost everything through sight.
Inner sight.
Well, it could be physical, gross physical. It could be astral, mental, buddhic, celestial. Could be inner sight, yes.
So there are levels of sight. So is this connected to the third eye?
The third eye is one of the levels. There's only one thing happening in the universe. When one divides it into two, one can say that there's the celestial sight or the cosmic sight or the
physical.
Well, the physical sight is gross, but the physical sight is not real. I'm looking at you right now. There's an I and there's a you. In reality, there's no I and there's no you. It's just the experience of sight.
There's what we jokingly call the weenus.
The weenus, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you're experiencing non-duality in these particular ways. And what do you think is a common misunderstanding or myth about non-duality that's not correct?
There's so many subtle variations of non-duality, and some of them are, how would I describe this? No, non-duality may be experienced as emptiness. Buddhists tend to see that as the first level of non-duality.
Of awakening.
Of awakening. So one experiences emptiness or nothingness. This Hindu variation tends to see this as Brahman or as everything. This is the creator creating everything. The Jewish framework tends to see non-duality as various stages of oneness with everything and emptiness or nothingness, which cannot be experienced, can only be known by what it's not. So there are various ways that the level of awareness gets experienced differently by different backgrounds, by different schools.
Frameworks and points of view.
There's also something else about Judaism that's interesting, which is and Hinduism, which is the experience of the unmanifest. Before there was a manifest universe, cosmos, there was an unmanifest. It happened on the edge before manifestation. And in order to experience that, one has to find a way to separate oneself from the unmanifest and have a perceptual view of it. So, for example, if one has a knower, which is one of the descriptions of the divine knows everything, consciousness is everywhere and knows everything, then one is able to separate that and begin to perceive the unmanifest. Which is one of the things that has happened to me.
Okay, so I just want to go back a little bit and then come back to this.
Okay.
So you said non-duality may be experienced as emptiness. Did that happen to you?
Yes, in two ways. One way was I was experiencing oneness, a sense of being Brahman, being everywhere and everything, and being able to perceive everywhere and everything, almost, because there's always hidden stuff. And then at some point, I became aware that what made that possible was the fact that I was beyond time and space. I was in the emptiness. Beyond time, space, or space-time, there is nothing. There is emptiness. And yet it does exist and it does have sensory perception. And if one actually begins to experience the emptiness, one can access any place in the cosmos, because the manifest universe, the created universe, created cosmos, can be experienced anywhere from this point of view. From the emptiness.
Is the emptiness the same as the unmanifest?
No. The emptiness is something in itself. So the emptiness I began to experience from that perspective, from the perspective of access, something itself that gives access to the manifest universe. In other words, it's a doorway through which one can peer in and see or feel or taste everything.
So I remember when you were saying, my mind is empty, my body's empty, I am emptiness. And we were talking about the Buddha's realization of emptiness. And then it changed for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was next?
What has happened next is the experience of the heart, for want of a better word, that beyond the emptiness, beyond the unmanifest, is the heart, which I experience as bliss, joy, radiance, ecstasy, without a subject or an object. There's nobody there experience it, and it's not directed at anything.
So this reminds me, in so many mystical traditions that talk about after realization, the kundalini goes back down to the right side of the heart. This is not the heart chakra. This is the right side of the heart, which is centered on compassion and bliss.
Yes, it's more subtle than the creator or Brahman. It's more, it's a post that experience awareness. Does it happen in the body? That's a symbol of how it happens.
What do you mean?
Well, there's no subject, there's no object, there's no body, there's no mind.
Oh, I see.
There's nobody there except the state or the consciousness. So one would look at it, let's say if one were to describe it in terms of religious terms, one would say God is love, pure love. But then take away God, and what you're left with is pure love. If one wants to look at it from a more Hindu perspective, one would say, I am ecstasy. So there's an I that returns in the sense of,
But it's not personal.
no, it's not personal and it's not descriptive. There's no self or object.
There's no person in the I, and there's no object of the love.
Correct.
It seems to me that the language in our spiritual world is kind of unclear. People speak of oneness, unity, merging with the divine. Enlightenment, awakening, non-duality, and I don't think there's a lot of discrimination for the differences in these terms, the different values and specifics that they might carry. So, in your experience, we don't want to go into the concepts, but in your experience, can you clarify anything about the differences in these terms? So, for example, Christian mystics talk about, merging with the divine, and Sufi mystics talk about the lover and the beloved merging in oneness.
Right. The simplest form of describing it is the subject and object merge or disappear in each other. That's the cognitive version of it. More emotional or feeling version of it is that the self and the other disappear into pure radiance, bliss, joy, love. If one wants to look at it from the self expands to become everything.
Rather than the self dissolves like a drop into the ocean.
Yeah, one can look at it like that.
But when it dissolves, it becomes the ocean, so it does expand.
Yeah, you can look at it like that because you experience it that way. In other words, the self can expand to become everything. And when it becomes everything, it's dissolved. It doesn't exist anymore as a separate entity. So in some ways it becomes nothing. In some ways it's dissolved into the cosmos or into the divine. That everything is the divine, another way of saying it. It just appears as separate entities, as separate consciousnesses.
Well, do you think there's a difference in experience of this point for people who do a bhakti devotional path and people who do a more cognitive discriminating path or a more physical yoga path?
Right. So if one does a mindful path, one which one explores the body, awareness of the body, and then awareness of the emotions, awareness of thoughts, awareness of intuition, and then one reaches a level where one experiences emptiness. If one follows that path, that continues to expand into a visual, more a visual perception of these different subtle realities, the planets, subtle levels when you pass on, when you die. So, but that's it's sort of mental and descriptive in terms of perception, visually, auditory.
But yeah, it's not heart centered.
It's not heart centered, but one has to, if you keep going through all the levels, one ends up in the heart. So, in other words, the heart, the ecstasy, love, bliss, joy, is the end of the path, or to some degree the continuation of the path after the insight. And if one follows bhakti, at some point one has to change awareness or move awareness into insight, into description of what is there.
Oh, so each one kind of leads to the other one.
Yes.
Necessarily, if there's a full awakening.
Correct.
Okay.
So you can follow bhakti path, but at some point, the subject and object become the source of love that is in you, merges with the source of love in the object, and then manifests as awareness and insight into the nature of the reality.
Beautiful. That's a good place to land, I think. We were going to close each podcast with your present moment. Do you want me to open the blind so you can look outside?
No.
Okay. What's going on right in this moment?
In this moment, this physical body called Neil, it's the name it was given, is everywhere. So one tends to look at the physical body as a separate object, but it's not separate. It's consciousness itself manifesting as a physical body. So my physical body is everywhere. It's not just local in this room or in this chair, but it's everywhere. And I experience it as that.
You experience your own body as everywhere. Can you be in two places at once?
Yes, of course, one is everywhere. So one can experience it as being sense of being everywhere, feeling an idea or a sense of it. You can experience it as, or I can experience it as being in two places. I can experience it as being a flow from one place to another place. But when I look at the reality, it's not in one place, it's everywhere.
We're closing for now. Dr. Neil's non-dual awakening continues. Join us next time. Namaste.